This is the State of Things broadcasting from Triad Stage in downtown Greensboro. I'm Frank Stachow. The Greensboro Science Center is the only institution in this state to house an accredited museum, aquarium, and a zoo under one roof, and it is just one of a handful in the whole country. The Science Center has been in the Triad since the 1950s, but recent expansion has dramatically grown the facility into a true three-in-one destination. A lot to see here. There's animals like a giant Pacific octopus, sharks, tigers, lemurs, wallabies, and more. And they've recently added another animal to the exhibit list, the human. The Bodies Revealed exhibit shows visitors an up-close look at nine preserved human bodies. Kelly Crawford joins me now. She's an educator at the Science Center. Kelly Crawford, welcome to the State of Things. Good to have you here. Listen, I have to get you right to this bodies exhibit now. Tell us more about that. These are preserved actual human bodies, right?
They are. So we have about 200 specimens and nine full bodies in this exhibit. And it's a great opportunity to come out and really see what we all look like inside. Now, we all may look very different outside, but we're very similar inside. And getting that chance to see it up close and personal, there's nothing like it.
Is that really something we want to see, Kelly?
It is. It is, I promise. It's not as scary as you might think.
See and touch, right?
See and touch. There are certain things that you can touch in the exhibit. We do have a touch booth at the very end, so you get a chance to touch a brain. You can hold that brain, something that you shouldn't miss. You can hold a smoker's lung. So things like that that really give you a chance to understand our body and how incredible it is and how it supports us and hopefully inspire you to make healthy decisions to continue to support your body.
I have to ask you first about these bodies. I mean, whose bodies are these? Do you have permission? I mean, I have to ask you that.
So, good question. Mm-hmm. That's something that a lot of people do ask about. So, the majority of these bodies are from China, and so most of them were unclaimed. And so when that happens, they are in most cases are going to be donated to medical schools that can use them for research and educational purposes. And this is a great example of that. And so there's a lengthy preservation process that gets them from, human body to what you're seeing on exhibit at the Science Center. But it's fascinating.
So, and again, give us an idea of the human bodies you've got. How many human bodies?
Nine.
Full bodies. And then what can we touch? What can't we? And tell us more about some of the theory and how much we can learn and how they're interpreted so that I know what I'm looking at and what I'm feeling.
Yeah. So one of the things that really surprises people is when you walk in this exhibit, the nine full bodies are not in cases. Now the smaller pieces are in cases. And so what we really encourage is for people to get up close and personal and see these and really experience it. It's a hands-off in that case, but you can get as close as you'd like, knowing that at the end, our education team who are in the exhibit are going to give you a chance to touch and feel some of these things. And, a question we get asked a lot is, is it really going to feel like what my body feels like? And yes and no. So it's, it's dry. So good question that people always ask us. Are these going to be slimy? No, they're not slimy. But you're going to feel what it feels like. So when they're preserved with a silicone. And so they're plastinated, but you still get a chance to feel every recess and every bump on each of these organs. And it's a unique experience that we really encourage you to come out to the Science Center and take part in.
You have a lot of school groups coming too, right?
We do. So school groups are definitely kind of the bread and butter of the Science Center. And so we really look forward to getting to experience these things with children and see it through their eyes. So we have kids who are very, very young who come into an exhibit like this. And at that age, they're not necessarily fearful of these kinds of things as some adults may be. And so you get to see it when it's that curiosity. And that's part of our mission, to inspire scientific curiosity. And when you come in an exhibit like this, you don't miss seeing those kinds of things happening on a daily basis.
Well, it makes a lot of sense. I mean, obviously in med school, this is exactly what you do. You may not walk into a museum, but you're coming in contact with human bodies all the time, and that's the point of it, so that we should all be a little bit more expert, and that would help us not only understand our bodies better, but when we go and talk to physicians, when they're trying to explain these organs and kind of how things work. I mean, you mentioned one set of lungs, I think, is from someone who may have had emphysema.
Mm-hmm.
So we get to see maybe the effects of air pollution and or smoking and that sort of thing. And it's a chance you don't – that – up until now has really been left to the experts, the doctors.
That's correct. And one of the exciting things about this exhibit is a lot of our volunteers who are in the exhibit are actually med students or nursing students. And so these are folks who are trying to really learn how to, when you're in a medical situation with them, explain how things are working or not working with you. And so it gives them a great opportunity to do that. And they're the perfect people to explain these kinds of things.
This is a traveling exhibit. It's been all over the country and it's been going around the country for a while. In fact, you had this about 5 years ago at the museum and decided to bring it back. Why?
If we've ever had a blockbuster at the Science Center, Bodies is probably it. It predates me, so I missed it the first go-round. So I was always excited when I knew that it was a possibility for us to get it back because nothing has ever compared to it. And so it's really a great chance for us to have it here again. And if people missed it the first time, hopefully they'll get to see it. Or if they saw it the first time, we encourage them to come back. There's different things in this exhibit.
Well, I want to bring Glenn Dobregoz into the conversation now. Glenn has been executive director with the Greensboro Science Center since 2004. Glenn, welcome to the State of Things.
Thank you.
I want to talk about some of the other exhibits, but talk about this 3-in-1 science center that we have here in Greensboro and how it came to be.
Well, you know, there's a lot of great science-based facilities in the state. And when we were trying to create our vision, our master plan 10, 11 years ago, we didn't ask the question, what are they doing and we can replicate? What are these other facilities not doing that we can be unique in this community? And so that's where the premise started. And the idea of doing something completely separate for Greensboro that, you know, could bring people. You know, when you think of Greensboro, you don't necessarily think of tourism. That's changing. We want to be part of that paradigm. And the 3-in-1 destination, we were already a science museum first. And then when I was recruited, there was $5 million in the budget to build a zoological expansion. So we were already kind of going in that direction anyway. And then once we wrote the master plan, which is called Science City USA, the aquarium emerged and evolved into that. And it seemed like a natural. So when you now can think of Greensboro, a 3-1 destination, duly accredited, that gives us a claim to fame. It gives us something unique and special for this community that the politicians, that the business leaders, that the citizens can all rally around and get excited about because tourism is an economic driver. There's no doubt about it. It can advance from here. And through our economic impact study that was done back in 2009 and redoing it now, it shows about $25 million per year impact by who we are. And we've grown considerably beyond that impact study. And we've been able to triple our budget and double our staff in 6 years.
So that's huge growth in 6 years, as you say. It started, if I'm right about this, as I said in the introduction, in the 1950s, a much smaller organization. Tell us about the evolution of this and what happened. What was this in the 1950s when it was founded?
Well, the Junior League of Greensboro and some very passionate women wanted to start the Nature Science Center. And if you come today, you can go into what just got renovated called Side Play Bay. That building, roughly 3,000 square feet, is the original Science Center. And from that point, they handed it over to the city of Greensboro. The city of Greensboro ran it as part of Parks and Recreation up to around 1990. And that's the point when the private not-for-profit, which I work for, came together and said, we can probably raise more money, get larger, evolve if we separate from the city and kind of create a partnership. And that's what we've done. And from that point forward, we have tripled our budget, dramatically increased. Even in the last 10 years, we've gone from about 120,000 people a year to our peak year. Well, our first peak year was with Bodies. That was 5 years ago. That took us to 330,000. With the aquarium opening, we jumped to 430,000. And the beauty of it is we still have 15 million in known expansion taking place over the next 3 to 5 years. So it's a really good time to be associated with the Science Center.
Well, let's talk about how you do this strategically. The zoo, for instance, obviously North Carolina has a premier zoo in Asheboro. So how do you then program and imagine a zoo strategically in Greensboro, knowing that there's a great zoo in Asheboro?
Well, that's a great question. For one, they're friends of ours. In fact, their new director is on the commission with me, the AZA Accreditation Commission. Great, great people over there. But we know they're a large budget, mega vertebrate, we call it, zoo. They got the big stuff. They got the elephants, they got the giraffes, I got all that, and great conservation programs associated with it. We knew we could not compete there. Our core is science and science education. We teach biology, physics, chemistry, you know, you name it, we teach it. In fact, the concept of STEM, the acronym STEM, It's kind of hot right now, but we always say we were teaching STEM before STEM was cool because we've been doing it for 50 plus years. And so that is our core. So everything we do is focused on the science behind those particular topics. Like if you go into our aquarium right now, you can learn about sharks. You can see sharks 7 inches away from your face, but you can also learn about what it takes to manage that space. Go behind the scenes and see the technology, the filtration, the life support systems. You can touch and feel different animals and get a tactile sense of what they're doing, how they live, and what unique adaptations they have to survive. That goes true with our Omnisphere Theater, where you can take trips to outer space in 3D. You can go to our dinosaurs and actually touch fossils, walk in the footprints of a theropod from 45 million years ago. Our brand new SciPlay Bay, where you can actually talk to a red panda in a submarine through animated performance technology only done at Disney prior to us. You can actually have a conversation. Exactly. Yeah. You can have a conversation with a red panda who's going to tell you about all the cool things going on in SciPlay Bay to inspire kids to be marine biologists.
I don't think that's scientifically accurate. Let me just challenge you on that one. I do not think red pandas speak English. They're not from here.
That is correct.
They're actually located in the jungles.
But we also go into the realm of the imagination.
I caught you.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Good
this
point.
Is gotcha journalism at its best. tell us more. The octopus. Now, there's a great story about the octopus and the tank, the new tank that you're about to get or have. Is it already in?
Really cool story. It's already in. A young girl who's 15 years old, who's passionate about science and aquariums, she basically is the friends of her mom, is the friends of the producer for the tank team, which is a TV show on Animal Planet, number one TV show on Animal Planet. And they got us connected, and we started talking, and we're getting ready to expand our aquarium by 5,000 square feet, thanks to a local contribution and other contributions we haven't disclosed yet. So that's happening. So we needed a new kind of entrance point for that, and this octopus tank was the perfect location for that. And so now if you walk out there, you can see cool interactives, and you can turn the pages on electronics and see a floating octopus. But right in the middle of all that is a real giant Pacific octopus, a GPO, that is a stunningly unique, fascinating creature. If you haven't seen one, come out and see it. We're talking about something that's related to a clam, you know, that has a big brain, very smart, very intelligent. And to think, I mean, people always say animals, some people say animals aren't smart. Animals are brilliant. Mm. They just have a different way of thinking about things.
Well, they're smart enough not to be human, which
that's
in some ways, you know, you can give them that. What are some of the other animals that you have there at the zoo?
Well, in the aquarium, of course, we go from Asiatic fishing cats, a cat that fishes. Yes, a cat that actually jumps in the water and fishes, and they do that. That is my favorite. Yeah.
Well, did you train this cat to do that, or is this what they do?
That's what they do in nature, exactly. Okay. And who would ever expect to see a cat in an aquarium? No. That was kind of the cool factor behind it. One of the favorites, though, are penguins. We are breeding penguins like crazy out there. Last year, per capita, we had one of the largest breeding in the country, 14 pairs, 7 babies. This year, it's starting right now. So we have one healthy baby behind the scenes that nobody knows about yet. Till you now. I guess everybody knows about it now. And then, of course, outside, one of my favorites are the Javan gibbons. Gibbons from Java they're extremely rare. There's only 2 accredited facilities in North America that have them. We're one of them, and we've had 2 offspring there. The first one, many in the community, at least here, know about. Mom wasn't lactating, and so we couldn't raise them. We had to raise them by ourselves as humans. And the keepers had to wear these big monkey vests, and he gripped all night long. And then the Cone Health Hospital came forward with all kinds of little preemie diapers and formula and support from the nurses. Awesome, awesome story, which is on UNC TV, by the way, if you go back to their website. But then this year, mom gave birth to a healthy baby, and she was lactating. So now we have a family group of Javan gibbons out there. And we've got tigers and Maine wolves and lemurs and crocodiles and giant tortoises. I mean, and all that's about to expand with our zoo expansion that starts in about 2 years. Anyone's ever heard of an okapi? It's a small giraffe found in the Congo. Looks like half giraffe, half zebra. Extremely rare and endangered animal. We like to focus on endangered species globally for these breeding programs. Pygmy hippos, a hippo that's the size of a pig and tiny, but an amazing creature. Cassowary and clouded leopards. And I could go on and on. But, yes, so it's a growing facility with a focus on conservation as a core.
What about the museum? Obviously, the bodies exhibit is there now as a special exhibit. What happens there other times, Kelly? And what else is at the museum?
So I think you can tell when you listen to Glenn anytime that the pace that he talks is the pace that we work. So we're always challenged for bigger and better. And so we're never happy with things as they are. We're really thankful for the support that we get from the community. And so when we have so much support, we want to make sure that we're doing what you guys are excited about and what you're looking forward to. And that means change and bringing new and exciting things. So for us, we're planning our dinosaur gallery expansion or renovation, I should say. So we're planning that right now. And that's a favorite for a lot of our visitors is, you know, if you grew up in Greensboro, you remember going through the dinosaur gallery. And so we want to update that experience for visitors and bring in some technology and just get the rest of the museum to have the same feel as the aquarium in SciPlay Bay, because we know as we open new things, we always need to kind of revisit our older spaces and make sure that they're current for today.
You talk about the cooperation or the apparent cooperation, Glenn, in this whole universe of museums and attractions, particularly in this state, but I'm guessing it goes on elsewhere. Now, obviously, we have a regional gem in the Museum of Natural Sciences in Raleigh, and you've got attracting more and more visitors. And you talked about the zoo, which also is getting better and bigger in Asheboro. Does this mean that there is actual cooperation among these institutions to serve the appetite of people for this kind of thing?
Absolutely. From the accreditation process, you know, there's over 2,000 zoos and aquariums in this country. Currently, 230 are accredited. That's the gold standard. You have to go through a rigorous one-year process, peer review, internal review, and then a full assessment to become accredited. Once you are, that is a brotherhood and sisterhood amongst itself. And the cooperation is stunning. Kelly serves on an AZA volunteer resource committee. I'm on the commission. Our educators go to education conferences. Information is shared. The whole goal is to improve how we teach people science and how we conserve animals globally. So why not share? There's no selfishness about that process.
Can you tell if your visitors are mostly from this area or, how far and wide they come to visit?
We do. We collect zip codes. So 10 years ago, when we were still barely growing, we were about 30% out of county and about 70% Guilford County. That's completely flip-flop now. Mm. And so 70% of our visitors are coming from all 100 counties in North Carolina.
Does that a lot of school groups?
A lot of school groups. Bodies Revealed brings in lots of trips from all over the place. Knowing you can come to an aquarium, a zoo, and a museum all in one, it's bang for the buck. And so that's kind of the idea behind our vision is, you know, it's one-stop shop for science, and we hope to maximize that ability.
How long can you take it all in a day, or do you have to sort of go back if you want to see really all three?
We're not a huge campus. You know, if you are a true, diligent reader and want to experience everything, it's going to take you a long time to go through it. But you know most people, and the attention span of youth today to a certain extent. You know, you can do a lot on your iPad these days. You tend to zip on through. But our average day, which used to be about 30 minutes, is now well probably 2.5-3 hours now. But a full comprehensive assessment all day, absolutely.
You know, if you could have the pandas teach the rest of the animals to speak English, then you wouldn't have to read. They could just explain stuff and save a lot of time. Just a helpful tip.
That's why we have volunteers.
Yes.
I want to thank you all for being on the show today. Glenn Dobergose is the Executive Director of the Greensboro Science Center. Kelly Crawford, Volunteer Coordinator and Educator. Thank you so much for being on the program. Just ahead, we're going to talk with Chef Stephanie Tyson about the soul food odyssey that led her to the Winston-Salem restaurant Sweet Potatoes. We'll talk about that, but first the music of Molly McGinn and Dave Willis. Just ahead.
Road stretched out black like John Cash jeans, a yellow line straight up the seam, and this old concrete highway is singing to me, killing time, making poetry with license plate letters front of me, and CME means come on. In the meantime, stay between the lines. Drive drive-by truckers on a highway scream. Adjust yourself in the driver's seat. Not tired, not awake, just somewhere in between. Headlights flash, sit up, lean back. Open the window just a crack. CME means come home. Killing time, twisting rosary beads, a quarter past glory be. Stay between the lines. Stay between the lines. Radio spits and crackles a tune. Sure too, but the lyrics don't speak like they used to. Radio sounds like a friend turned mean. Lyrics aren't what they used to be.